Hi, my name's Andrew Fuller. I'm a clinical psychologist and I'm also the director of Resilient Youth Australia. There are really three major ways of promoting resilience in schools. The first one is to really address the culture that young people grow up in, and that's obviously in their homes and also about their schools. So we talk about how do we really center those places on the basis of good relationships. So schools traditionally have been places of power, where I say do something and you say I will either do it or I won't. Now that doesn't work anymore. And so essentially it's about thinking about what are the core things that really promote good relationships. And the five values really are trust, forgiveness, integrity, hope and compassion. And we try and build those at the very heart of schools and at the heart of families as well. This means that punishment does not change behaviour. Punishment creates blame and it creates shame. And people who are blamed and shamed might be regretful in the short term, but later on they feel hurt, they feel misunderstood, and they're more likely to inflict pain on other people. So that's one thing I think we really need to start to think about much more strongly. We're doing bits of it. The second major way is to do social-emotional curricula, having basically the idea of people understanding their own emotions and the emotions of other people. And that's an area that's often really quite well delivered in many schools, although certainly the idea really about all of us learning about how our emotions work and what to do with them is something we can certainly do better. The third area is student empowerment or student voice. And this is where we get groups of young people, and we call it Students Create the Future or Resilience Ambassadors. And we have groups of young people dream up a project, something that they would like to change in their school, in their town, in their community, in their state, or in the world. And then what happens is they gather together around them other young people or people in the community who are interested, and they try and do that for about 1 week. And the idea is to give them a sense of creating a change in the world. So my thinking is that if we want young, empowered, innovative, creative, problem-solving young people, we need to give them problems to solve that they believe in. The area that we're most failing in is anxiety. We live in an incredibly anxious world. Parents are worried about their kids and don't really know how to effectively help them. In fact, they sort of flounce around trying to protect them, often with no real gain, sadly. The kids themselves, as we see, have inordinate amounts of anxiety, not just about NAPLAN and tests, but also just generally about friendships in the world. And I think teachers are also incredibly anxious. And so what we have is this contagion of anxiety. And so really tackling that's, I would say, our number one issue. In the Resilient Youth Australia research, we found that 55% of the variance in the mental health scores could be accounted for by just two factors. And those two factors were losing sleep due to worry, and the second one was concentration problems. So if we think about the first one first, most psychological problems have as a corollary to them sleep disturbance. Now, which is chicken and which is egg is a bit hard to kind of determine here. But if you're depressed, you often have sleep disturbance. If you have anxiety, you often have sleep disturbance. And this goes on. I could keep listing psychological problems. And so one of the things we really need to think about is how, as a community, do we value sleep? How do we help people to learn to get a good night's sleep? The second one is concentration. And again, one of the things that we see often that goes along with psychological problems is an inability to be present. So if you're feeling sad and depressed, you're often regretful about things that have happened in the past. If you're anxious, you're often anticipating dreadful things that might happen in the future, but you're not here right now. And so helping kids to learn to concentrate is a vital skill. And so certainly I wouldn't say that if we had kids sleeping and concentrating would remove 55% of mental health problems. That's not what I'm saying. But it would make a go a long way to reducing the intensity of them if just had those two skills.